Hi, welcome back to another episode of the Jasmine Star Show. My name's Mar, visual content producer and videographer for Social Curator. I'm here to introduce one of the most downloaded podcast episodes of the year, my real life adoption story. I've been on Jasmine's team since 2016, and as long as I've known her, her and JD have been wanting to adopt a baby. So when they were finally given the opportunity to adopt their daughter, Luna Soul, at the start of 2020, it felt like a miracle. Jasmine and JD's families were really excited, but I can speak on behalf of the Social Curator family and say we couldn't wait to meet her. I'll never forget the team meeting where Luna made her first appearance. JD and Jasmine were in a hotel room in Las Vegas when they introduced her during our video call. The entire team welcomed her as the newest and the youngest member. In this episode, you'll hear detailed clips of Jasmine and JD's adoption process, including real-life conversations with their lawyer, the moment they meet their baby girl, and so much more. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, it's okay. Okay.
You don't like to get your diaper changed?
No.
It's okay. Okay, I know.
Welcome to the Jasmine Star Show, where we talk about life, business, and everything in between. Speaking of everything in between, can we talk about my daughter today? Yes, I just said my daughter. I've waited years to say those words, and today I get to say it publicly on this podcast. I'm so happy you're here because we're about to talk about my adoption journey and what it means to run a business as an expectant slash new slash oh my goodness, what just happened mother. I should probably let you know that we had one day notice to pick up our baby girl. But hang tight, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me start at the beginning. For years, my husband and business partner, JD, knew that we were destined to adopt a child. For years, we prayed for a baby, hoping the path would open before us. In 2017, we began to take formal measures to adopt. Now, we considered international adoption, but then we quickly learned how difficult it was to adopt outside of the United States, given the current political climate. So then we opted for a national faith-based adoption agency. And then when we applied, we went through meetings and trainings. But one night we sat through a presentation where a foster to adopt option was presented to us. And this was totally outside of what we were expecting. But what this really means is that we'd become certified foster parents with the hope that we'd be placed with a child who'd be eligible for adoption within a few years. We went through months of trainings and home studies and certifications, and at the end of a very, very long process, after we had been cleared to begin foster care, we just weren't at peace with our decision. So I should probably let you know that what we discovered was that children are often stuck in the foster care system with no way out. Statistically speaking, we ran the chances of getting placed with a child 4 to 6 times before finding a child eligible for adoption. Now, I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but JD and I sit on the board of Austin Angels, a national nonprofit organization helping families support children in the foster care system. Our hearts are for helping foster families. Our hearts are so dedicated to creating pathways to love children in foster care. But I also knew that my heart could not take losing a child to the foster care system. My heart was ready for a family, something that I would be able to call my own permanently. And I worried it'd break my heart so badly that if I had to give up a child after a child after a child, that I just wouldn't keep pushing through the pain in order to find a permanent placement with a child. So we searched to find an adoption attorney, and I needed a little bit of help. So I reached out to the kind, wonderful, and very amazing adoptive mom, Rachel Hollis, for some help. She referred me to her lawyer, David Radis. We met David, and once we signed the papers, we began yet another approval process. It was more trainings, more meetings, and more home studies. We basically had to start from the very beginning, but nothing could break our determination to start a family. Now, to be honest, once we were approved for placement, we had to make a book and we had to do our profiles. Like, the minute that happened, I thought we'd get paired with the birth mom immediately. Like, looking back, I think it's really naive to think that. I simply thought it happened because we were ready. Like, ta-da, hey world, we're ready to be parents and we're officially official. In retrospect, what I can really say was just, I was just desperate. I wanted to will our experience as parents into existence. I wanted to fight and climb and do everything to become parents, but God had other plans. We spent months and months and months waiting in silence. There were times when we made it to the final two families being considered for placement, but every time we weren't selected. And oh my gosh, these days were painful. I remember one day specifically when I was headed to a photo shoot alone, and our lawyer called to let me know that our profile had been passed from a mom who I believed with all my heart that she was going to pick us. Like, I believed it in my bones. I asked JD to arrange flights. I packed my luggage before leaving to the shoot. I sang along to pop music on the way to the shoot. And when I saw David call us, I was like, this is it. I'm by myself. I'm getting this news in my car. When I answered his call, he apologized. When he hung up, I sat in a parking lot and I just cried. I gave myself the permission to sob for 7 minutes because all I had was 7 minutes. I had to stop crying because I had a meeting with a client. So I smiled through the shoot. I politely laughed with every click of the shutter, but I was crumbling on the inside. I drove home and I cried. JD met me at the front door of our house and he held me in his arms and we cried some more. But I had to quickly dry my tears because I had to host a coaching session on the inside of Social Curator and I did not want to talk about what was going on in my personal life. And I need to actually take a second to pause here because the podcast is never just about me and it's not about my pursuits into motherhood and entrepreneurship. It's actually not about that. It's about us and our collective journey. In the past 2 years, I have been so sensitive to people in a new way. Like, I think oftentimes it's easy to hide deep pain on the outside. But if we take a step back, I feel like many of us are hurting below the surface. So if you're in a rough spot, if you're tired of being in a constant cycle of waiting, if you're hopelessly wondering if your time will arrive, I see you. I'm sorry you're hurting, but please don't give up hope. I want to let you know that you're not alone. And I can tell you that if you don't give up, what's on the other side is better what you hope for, and it's waiting for you. So speaking of waiting, and please forgive me, I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk my way through this episode without crying. Man alive, there's like a lump in my throat already. Okay. I mean, this journey, I'm like, I feel like we started formally the process in 2017, but man, I had a client email me just yesterday and she said, Jasmine, I remember us talking about adoption in 2012. And it struck me, like it shook me because I'm like, man alive, we've been waiting such a long time. So speaking of waiting, let's go back to working through this process of waiting. Okay. On January 24th, 2020, we received an email from our lawyer stating that a baby was born in Las Vegas. Now, I won't get into the specifics of the story because I want to respect the birth parents, and I have made the commitment to allow my daughter to tell her story when she's ready. For the sake of the podcast, I'll be sharing just my experience becoming a mom, even if my greatest joy came at the cost of someone else's greatest pain. So due to certain health complications, Child Protective Services was called by the hospital where the baby was born. They explained that the birth parents could voluntarily relinquish their rights or else the baby had to be put in foster care. The birth parents agreed to sign So while JD and I were on a team call about health insurance for employees,
so I told Jazz, I said, well, then you picked the plan. I don't know anything about this stuff. But any questions?
No.
Cool. All right, let's do vision.
I got a call from David asking us to get to Las Vegas immediately because there was a mix-up and the baby was placed in foster care. Now, I won't get into the specifics why. Again, I want to respect the birth parents here. But JD and I had less than like 35 minutes to pack our bags. But first, we needed to tell our parents. JD called his mom first.
Okay, so we just got off the phone with our lawyer. Mm-hmm. And our lawyer, so they were in court today. And there was a new district attorney. And the new district attorney, when he heard that the case of the child came up, he was a little flustered because he didn't know what was going on. So he wanted to postpone the hearing until February 11th. And the judge was he said, no, that's not happening. That's too many days because we don't want this child in foster for 10 more days. So he said it's going to be continued to tomorrow at 8:30. And so our lawyer said it'd be a really good idea if we head to Vegas right now so that we could be there for the court hearing tomorrow, because it's a 95% chance that the judge will probably, rule in our favor. Okay. So that's where we are.
Okay.
So we should leave now pretty soon.
I need to take a second and fill in one piece of very important information. The baby was put into foster care and the case was presented in the state of Nevada. I can't get into the specifics, but the birth mom voluntarily went to court to petition on our behalf. She stood before a judge and she begged him to move the baby from foster care and into our lives. We were not in Las Vegas for this hearing. But I will never, ever be able to thank the birth mom for speaking up on our behalf. I can't imagine the pain that she was going through. I cannot imagine how hard it was for her. I cannot thank her enough for such a selfless act on behalf of her child. At the time of this recording, I haven't met the birth mom, but I am incredibly indebted to the humble act of grace that she bestowed to us. At the end of the court session, the judge ruled for the case to be decided the following day. So our lawyer said that we should be present in court at 9 a.m. the following morning. We had to get on the road so fast in order to make it to Las Vegas in time, so we packed in a total frenzy.
Oh, and then are we taking a camera?
We need a camera. Oh my God. Can you get the battery chargers, the camera, CF cards? I need a card reader. You need a phone charger.
You got all the white socks?
Yeah. I feel like I'm just forgetting stuff. Like, what do you even pack?
You told me. Everything we can buy.
Okay. Everything we can buy in Las Vegas. Okay. Oh my God. I just feel so scatterbrained. I'm like just throwing stuff in a bag. I think we're going to laugh at this one day and being like, why did we pack that?
What?
Like, I'm like, I'm packing my yoga mat. Like, come on. Come on. That's just like, oh, well, I'm going to be a new mom and practice yoga. I mean. Right. Yeah. How are you feeling right now?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm feeling anxious to get to. I don't even know what time until tomorrow morning.
I know. Like, you're like sweaty and you're acting crazy. But we literally cannot even go to court until 8:30 in the morning.
I just want to be closer.
You want to be, okay.
I just want to be closer to where she is. That's
okay.
All.
You want to be closer to where she is.
Yeah. Just in case.
Just in case. Okay.
Just in case she can feel energy. She feels us there.
She's going to feel your dad energy.
Then it was time to hit the road, but we needed to pick up something special.
Okay. So I'm walking in to Nordstrom right now because our friends, Brendan and Kristen, made an online order for a baby car seat. And they just had a baby and they swear by this one. So they just said, we ordered it for you. It's at Nordstrom. Just pick it up. So here we go.
Okay, there's a line. Hang on. I have all this, like, nervous energy running through me right now. Like, I feel like I'm about to start a race. Like, I'm in the starting line or something. Like, I have adrenaline. I could probably pick up, like, a car. I could pick up a car with, like, 18 people in it.
Just to make sure it's the car seat.
Right? It is the car seat, yeah.
Okay, are you parked out here, or
mm-hmm.
are you going to be able to pick it up, or do you want us to help
you? Oh, is it heavy?
Yeah, it's a huge box.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's huge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so are you parked on this side?
I'm parked right here, yeah.
If there are parents that are listening right now, this just goes to show how little I knew about baby gear. It didn't occur to me that, like, I couldn't just carry a car seat in a box to my car. So once we got in the car, got the baby seat in the car, I had to stop by my parents' house to pick up my birth certificate for paperwork. My parents weren't home, but my youngest sister, Zoe, was there to ensure that I got what I needed. Oh, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for this. I love you.
Where is he?
I love you.
I want to say congratulations to you as soon as it happens. I can't wait to see you as an auntie to a
I love you.
Little girl.
I love you. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. Give mom and dad a kiss.
I love you.
You.
Polo. Polo. Polo, let's go.
Once we picked up my birth certificate, we then drove to my mother-in-law's house to drop off our dog, Polo. He loves it at her house, and she spoils him rotten, and we decided it would be best for him to stay there because we didn't know how long we would have to be living in a hotel. So, once everything was locked in, it was time to hit the road.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, Vegas bound. I'm gonna get some gas, and then ain't no stopping.
Stop.
Ain't no stopping us after that.
Okay, it's taken us, like, way too long to get on the road. It's actually taken us an hour and 20 minutes, but it feels like it's taken us a week.
Yeah, I wish we can just, like, teleport to Vegas.
Okay, well, since we can't teleport, we're gonna drive 4 hours. Let's actually see how long it's gonna take.
Oh, wait. Let's see which route's the fastest. Even if it saves us 5 minutes, we'll get there 5 minutes faster.
Quarters of a mile. Turn left on La Serena Drive.
Well, sometimes
all right, little Amy Winehouse. Okay. It says it's gonna take us 4 hours and 16 minutes.
Wow. We're not getting there till 7.
We're getting there at 7. All right.
Alrighty.
Let's go.
Let's do this.
We sat in over 4 hours of traffic. We talked, we sang along to John Mayer's greatest hits, we listened to podcasts, I sent emails. We tried our best to pretend that this road trip was just like any other. We couldn't bring ourselves to acknowledge that we packed bags for ourselves and didn't, at all, pack one thing for the baby. I think that what we were trying to do is we were trying to protect ourselves. We didn't want our hearts to get hurt. So we decided, like, hey, we'll just figure out things as they arrive. But thank God our sweet friends Brandon and Kristen were believing in a miracle. And that miracle was on our way. And they just said, it is coming. So they drove to Las Vegas separately and they went on a baby shopping spree for us. When we arrived, exhausted, to the hotel that night, they pulled up 10 minutes later, right behind us, with a truck full of baby items.
Oh my God. Thank you. Oh my God.
You guys,
I can't believe this.
Hey,
I can't
like
believe this.
Can
I can't believe this.
We can't believe this.
I can't believe this. What are you guys doing?
We're anything you want. We're doing anything you want.
Brandon. Brandon. Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
Hey. You guys make life easy. Thank you.
I can't, I'm already crying. You guys are amazing.
We love you so much.
It's been a long day, you know?
You guys have saved. You guys
don't even get it. There's so much. Like, so it's just so layered. Thank you guys.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Like, our lives, we threw everything in a bag and came here, and we knew we were going to get a call. And we still had to throw everything in a bag. So to see this car filled with all our baby stuff. I can seriously, you guys, I don't know. I feel like you guys are our village. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's get unpacked.
Get your jacket and get inside. We got this.
We unpacked our bags, but before Kristen and Brandon drove back home, Kristen had to teach us a few of the basics.
Whatever Kristen picks, it's been heavily researched and cross-tested and mom group approved.
Okay, so you're going to make for how many ounces?
So this one's only a 2 ounce bottle.
Oh, perfect.
So you'll just do 2 ounces.
Better, yeah.
So
2 ounces here, like for newborns, that's what they drink?
Yeah, that's a lot probably, right?
I would say maybe around 4.
Our friends left and the hotel room was quiet, dark, and empty. I couldn't sleep, and when I did kind of doze off, I had nightmares. I was being suffocated. When we got into our car the next morning, we tried our best to understand the gravity of the situation. The good news was that my parents surprised us by flying to Las Vegas as well. They told us, like, they wanted us to go to court on our own, but they wanted to be there to offer support as needed. Just having my parents there made me feel like a kid again. They've always showed me unconditional love and support when I needed it the most. At 8:40 a.m., we arrived at the courthouse and we were overcome with nerves. Our case was at 9 in the morning, but we wanted to meet our caseworker before.
Okay, so we're at the courthouse.
Remember this moment. You know, okay. Just take a second. Just give it a second to just soak in. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed right now. How are you feeling?
Overwhelmed, scared.
Good morning.
How are you? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. I'm so happy to meet you guys. Let's just sit over here.
Yeah, yes. Thank you.
Thanks for getting here so quick.
Oh, gosh.
We were on call since, you know, 2 days ago, so we were ready. We were ready.
You look ready.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Me too. I have a good feeling about you guys for this baby.
Thank you.
Are
you sure? You can't make me start crying early this morning.
We were told that we could not enter the courtroom, so we sat outside while the district attorney petitioned the judge to keep the baby in foster care, and our lawyer petitioned the baby to be placed with us. About 20 minutes later, we saw the caseworker step out of the courtroom with her face really, like, sad. It was withdrawn. The district attorney applied for an appeal when the judge ruled in our favor. That meant the baby, for the time being, would have to stay in foster care. And this news hit us really hard.
David and George, attorneys, just to see if we want to know likelihoods. I don't know.
I think it's going to be positive, that judge. But see, now it'll go before another judge.
The caseworker told us to return to the courthouse later that afternoon for the appeal. So we left the courthouse and we just felt sad and we were anxious and we just were totally dejected. And we immediately called our lawyer. After a long conversation, he was empathetic to our position, but then offered some really tough love clarity that we needed.
Thank you. You add a lot of clarity.
Just take a deep breath, and we're just taking a step at a time.
Okay.
Don't do what I think is in your nature. It's my nature too. So this isn't a negative on you. This is exactly my stuff. I tend to play three-dimensional chess and worry about what the next steps are going to be. Right now, you can't do that. You have to be sequential and take it one step at a time.
Okay.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
I want to take a second and highlight the words our lawyer used. He said we wanted to play three-dimensional chess in this situation, but life doesn't ever work that way. What an awesome emotional gut check, right? We had to stay sequential and stay the course. Can I get an amen? Like, how many of us need that reminder? We must stay the course and stay sequential.
I have peace. I have peace that all the steps are actually falling into place. And I'm still optimistic and actually very hopeful.
We had a few hours before the appeal hearing, so we decided to drive around Vegas for a bit.
So right now, this courthouse
is two blocks away from where my grandmother used to live in Las Vegas. We actually didn't know where the courthouse was until late last night. And then on the way here, I turned to JD and I said, you and I...
We used to drive here when we were 18 years old.
Yeah. We would drive here together to visit my grandmother when we were 18 years old. And we continued year after year. We would come out here like two or three times a year to visit her. And we would listen to John Mayer CDs. Yes, CDs were
old. Continuum, if you guys... Right.
So we would listen to John Mayer, these long road trips, and we would visit my grandmother because she was and still remains like my best friend. So I just we're going to drive over to where she lived. She lived in a mobile home community. So, it's two blocks away from the courthouse. And so we're driving over to her trailer park because I just want to visit it again. And yeah, just, I want to be around something positive. And my grandmother is like the most positive, radiant person I'd ever met in my life. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go hang out there for a sec. After we left my grandmother's trailer park, we went grocery shopping and tried to stay busy as the clock slowly ticked by. So we are back at the hotel. We went to Whole Foods and we bought how many?
4 dozen.
I think we brought like 4 or 5 dozen flowers. We're getting into our hotel room because JD says that we have to create an environment that is inspiring and welcoming. And he bought candles. And we are going to just set this room up so that it feels...
Creating some space for...
Feels like...
For a great welcome.
Good. Feels like we're at home.
That afternoon, we got a call from the caseworker that the appeal was dismissed without having a hearing. And just like that, the baby could be released from foster care. But that didn't mean we could get her. She'd first have to be placed with Cradle Care. Now, Cradle Care is a family that's approved by the adoption agency, and they act as like an interim caretaker between us and the foster family. It was Friday night, and as agonizing as it was not to be with the baby, we were determined to continue trying. And then the more we tried, the more we realized there wasn't anything we could do to get her that Friday. Thankfully, my parents wanted to catch up, so we met them at a Mexican restaurant on the Las Vegas Strip to fill them in.
Crazy.
Oh, wow, Dad. You look so... Dad looks so nice.
I just
oh, my
gosh. I didn't bring any clothes, like, shoes.
We're going to... Oh,
it's so good to see you.
Oh,
what
is wonderful. I got to talk. Come on. Okay. Give me the cheese, man.
Okay.
Give me the cheese, man.
I'm going to give you all the cheese, man. I'm going to give you all the gossip right now. What have you guys been doing all day?
Well,
we went walking.
We went walking, you know.
The
eye drops, I forgot them. CVS. We went to go get a baby, an outfit. The minute we found out.
Oh, yeah, we're expecting a phone call from the lawyers.
Absolutely.
So yes. If we does pick up, it's good that.
You got.
Okay.
Like I said, don't.
We're just waiting on one option.
Shattering you guys.
We're okay. Hold on.
We're waiting on what? We're waiting to see if there's any... What's the possibility of us being united with the baby today? If there's any possibility.
It was so nice to have the chance to process our emotions with my parents. And after dinner, we headed back to the hotel. How many stories did my parents tell about how this baby has already, like, blessed them? Like, how lucky did they say just in, like, the past day? They said, oh, the baby did this for us. Oh, yeah. And the baby
already opened at least 8 doors for them in their life. They're going on a European vacation because of a taxi driver.
Oh, my parents are going to Bulgaria. There was a taxi driver who picked my parents up from the airport, and they started talking. My dad charmed him, and he said, what are you doing in Vegas? And the taxi driver guessed, oh, gambling, a conference, an anniversary. And my dad says, no, keep on guessing. And then he said, finally, he's like, I give up. What are you here for? And my dad said, we're here to see our granddaughter. My daughter just adopted a baby. And he was so moved by this. And he says, oh, you have to take your granddaughter to my country of Bulgaria. Sofia, Bulgaria. You must go. And when he dropped my parents off at their hotel, he unloaded their bags. And when my dad paid him, he said, no, no, no. I can't take the money. Use the money and buy the baby a gift from me. Buy the baby a gift. And my parents were so moved that my parents scrimp and save. And they've been dreaming of a European vacation to Spain. All of that changed because their taxi driver said they needed to go to Bulgaria. And they said that baby girl opened their eyes to see Bulgaria, right? Like,
that was one story. Yep.
That was one story. How many other stories?
Oh, and then at the Delta Lounge, they got an upgraded 58,000 extra points.
because baby girl opened their eyes.
Baby girl just warmed people's hearts. So.
And then when they checked in their hotel, and they don't have to pay the resort fee and they don't have to pay the taxes because my dad told the person who checked them in, you know, I'm here to see my adopted granddaughter, and they comped everything. So baby girl's basically like a lucky charm. Like, they're in Vegas. They should probably, my parents don't gamble, but if they did, tonight might be a good night for them. So we are hoping, we have made a decision. Okay, we're just getting the hotel. It might be a little noisy. We are hoping that tomorrow we could pick the baby up from cradle care. She was moved from her foster home into cradle care, which is a family that has been approved by the agency to take care of her. Because it's Friday, we couldn't get hospital records, and the agency doesn't want us to take the baby without verifying her hospital records. But we spoke to our lawyer and he spoke to the agency lawyer, and we just said that we're willing to take the baby without seeing medical records, because we decided, not emotionally, but we decided that whatever she has gone through, whatever she has or whatever she will go through, we are committed to being her parents and making sure that she is our baby. That night, we went to bed so excited to see our baby girl the next day. We couldn't sleep because we were so excited, but then we got some pretty bummer news.
It is Saturday morning, February 1st, and I just got news from the caseworker that we won't be able to pick up baby girl today. She said that she had plans and that the cradle care family had plans, which is kind of a bummer. I texted her in like very, very Jasmine fashion, and I said, can we pick up the baby anywhere? Can we pick up the baby at any event, at any time, in any city, in any state? And she's like, I'm afraid not. So JD is downstairs printing out the paperwork that we need to sign, and I don't want to tell him. I know he's going to be really sad. I'm just trying to like shift my mind to have it be that this is happening for us. There's a reason baby girl needs to stay with her cradle care family. That they're going to see her and they're going to love her and they're going to notice stuff about her and they're going to help us raise her, because it takes a village. And then tomorrow it'll come. I believe it. It'll come tomorrow.
I was really sad having to tell JD the news, because he was so excited to get her in his arms.
I know. How are you feeling? I just recorded a voice memo how I felt. Now I just turned it on for you. How are you feeling? Sit down.
I'm holding to the belief that this is happening for a reason.
Once we wrapped our minds around not getting the baby until Sunday, we decided to use Saturday to complete a list of things to prepare for baby girl.
So you know that moment that like new dads have, like right after their baby's born in the hospital, it's like they're hugging and they're kissing, they're high-fiving people and they're passing out cigars. Maybe they're not passing out cigars. Like, maybe they just did it in the 1950s. I don't know. But, like, we don't really have that cigar moment, except for the fact that there's so many random strangers in the world who just want to help you when your life is about to change. I mean, taxi drivers waving their taxi fees when we checked into the hotel. Like, they upgraded our room so that we had more space with the baby. And they said, can we give you a crib? And please, we'll comp your laundry bill if you have baby clothes to wash. And then just right now, JD went downstairs because we brought a printer. We brought a printer. My printer is from, like, I'm pretty sure 2002. So imagine this, like, 32-pound printer that we brought from home because we knew we would be printing out a ton of documents to sign. We didn't bring enough paper. So JD ran downstairs and he went to the gentleman at the counter and he said, I have some really important documents to sign. I just need some printer paper. And there was like this awkward silence between them for a second. And then JD said, I'm here in Vegas to adopt my daughter. Can you please give me some printer paper? And the guy says, oh my gosh. He opens up his printer and brings out like a ream, like 7 pounds of paper. He says, here, go and print them. Hurry, please. And so to strangers in the world who really want to help other people get the thing that they want, thank you.
Our goal was to have the baby's medical records reviewed before the baby was placed with us. Now, this sounds easy, but we spent hours on the phone to find a doctor or a nurse who'd help us read the medical records. And then we finally found a local hospital we could set an appointment with and then pay out of pocket for the review. But it didn't work out the way that we had expected.
Okay, so we just walked out of hospital number one. We took in the baby's medical records to see if they would be able to be read because we got them and it's like 37 pages of medical talk that I don't understand. And so one hospital said that they won't be able to read it for us. So now we're going to hospital number two to see if we can get a pediatrician to just help us understand this.
We arrived at hospital number two and no one there would help us either. I started to feel so overwhelmed and I started to feel just desperate. I was a new mom trying to figure out the health of our future baby and I needed help. We were driving down the Las Vegas Strip and we pulled into a random emergency clinic and we asked for help. The front desk nurse took so much pity on us and she called an RN to help us out.
Wow. We just walked out of a medical center in Las Vegas. We went to two other hospitals and nobody would read the medical records, and so we just pulled into like an emergency clinic and we said, we'll pay a doctor, can somebody just please read these medical records because we don't understand them. And the kindness of two nurses who came out and they just sat with us and they explained that the baby was healthy, and I'm not going to talk about any other personal details to the birth mom or to the baby, but I just wanted to document this moment that, like, we tried to pay them. She spent 35 minutes with us and she just said, what you're doing is courageous and what you're doing is brave, and we want to give this gift to you guys. And so there's just so many people who are doing the nicest things for us. Just these complete strangers. And I think that baby girl is blessed because there's so many people who just want to help her. I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful. I'm so, so thankful. So today is Saturday. I've been texting with our caseworker and we should have the baby in our arms tomorrow morning. So we will get that there. And yeah, it's happening.
We spent the rest of the day preparing for the baby to arrive. And so we were buying clothes and blankets and diapers for her. And our friends had texted us and told us to go to bed early because it was going to be the last good night of sleep we'd get. But in typical Jasmine and JD fashion, we just did things our own way, okay? Like, we look at advice from people and we're like, nice, but no, we're going to do us, okay? We decided to celebrate our last night without a child with a lovely dinner and a Las Vegas show.
Okay, it's our last night, last dinner date, and let's see.
What, our last dinner date as,
oh, yes,
non, as like without a child.
That's right. Correct. Our last dinner date before we get our baby tomorrow, and we were walking around the casino because we're here in Las Vegas, and you decided, I gave you two, you, well, I didn't give you. There was two options for dinner, Chinese or rustic Italian. And of course, I knew what you would choose, but I still wanted to throw it out there because I love Chinese, but you chose rustic Italian. And we're having a beautiful glass of wine.
Okay, but what are we doing tonight?
Ooh, we got tickets to go see Love.
Love. Mm. That's so appropriate. We are going to go see the Beatles Circus de Soleil.
Yes. We're going to get inspired.
We're going to get inspired, and we're going to be listening to music that parents listen to.
And that we listen to.
That we listen to. And that our future daughter will listen to.
Yeah.
It was truly the most magical last date as non-parents. We rested well, but the next morning, I laid in bed with a million questions.
It's 6:40 in the morning, and you don't want to be awake. And our friends are going to be upset because they said, get lots of sleep before the baby comes, but I can't sleep.
I woke up last night, but I'm talking sleep now, but last night I was up from 3 to probably 5.
Why?
I couldn't sleep.
You're just nervous?
I don't even think, I didn't wake up with, like, anxiety. I just woke up, and I just had a lot of thoughts.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. A lot of different things. I was trying to picture how the baby's going to look. I don't know why. It pictures her face maybe 20 different ways. Her hair color 20 different ways.
What do you think her eye color, like, what do you think her eye color is?
I think they're either brown, black,
okay.
Blue.
Just pick one. We should imagine. We should just say, okay, do you think she has a lot of hair or no hair?
She has hair. I think she's chubby. I hope she has a little bit of meat on her.
I should take a second to say that we knew virtually nothing about the baby. We hadn't seen her. We hadn't seen her birth parents. We knew so little about her ethnicity, her background, or her health, but we loved her already.
Okay, but really, what color eyes do you think she has?
I think they're going to be either black or brown.
We'll pick one.
Black.
Okay, I think she's going to have very little hair and brown eyes. Even if she doesn't know us, like, mm-hmm. I think her energy is, I just think that we're like, I don't know, maybe it's stupid. I just think that she's like around us immediately. Okay, not immediate. Okay. Not immediately. Okay, I know not immediately.
Extra.
Oh, we're very extra. We're very extra. We have like
baby.
A decade of pent up child love inside of us.
I know.
So it's just like, poor little baby. It's like a New York City hydrant, broken hydrant of just like love. Like, we're just like, wash out, girl. Okay, do you wonder how the I don't know if they call it the handoff. I think they call it the handoff.
So I propose for Super Bowl Sunday, right? The handoff.
Oh my God, that was funny. That was actually kind of funny.
Oh man.
I think that's your first dad joke.
Oh, come on. No.
Oh. I have a feeling you're gonna text all your guy friends. So there was a handoff today beyond the Super Bowl.
Sorry.
And it didn't happen at the Super Bowl.
I think you already stole my joke.
I think I did too.
It's yours. You can have it.
Have you thought about a name?
A name? Mm. Yes.
Do you have one in your heart already?
I don't. I have three names in my heart, and I really think that.
I think you have one that's at the top. I just want you to be honest.
I do. You know, there's this one that I would call her this name if. Her hair and her eye color. Like, I see her hair and eye color, and I would say, that's her name. And there's another one where if I see a certain type of movement or, like, a separate type of vigor or, like, if I see some type of, like, excitement, I have a name. And if I see one with, like, a big... If I see her, I'm sorry, with a big smile, that's the third one. So I'm like, if I don't see any of those, I'm going to be lost. I'm not going to know which one. If I get any of those three reactions,
but you, this
I feel
baby,
like I know.
Okay, but you know babies that are 10 days old.
No,
when you say movement, like
you know, like she just moves a lot. Like her legs are always like
at 10 days old, it's like a
a Jell-O dessert at Thanksgiving. Like they kind of.
Well, then like, I have a name for Jell-O dessert. Okay. What do you? How are you feeling about a name?
I feel like I don't know. I've heard that moms, when they're debating between names, like they know just like when they hold their baby. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when we hold her, like we'll know. And maybe we sound so ridiculous.
I know. I don't. I believe it. It sounds ridiculous, but I believe you. I think we'll know.
But I always feel like we are ridiculous people. Like we have ridiculous dreams and we have ridiculous things like that go, and then like they come to fruition.
Mm-hmm. That's why I believe you.
Okay. I know. I know.
I know.
After a workout and a breakfast neither of us could really eat, we waited in our hotel suite. The baby would be handed to us by Cradle Care, but we had no idea how things would actually take place. Then we got a phone call.
I'm so nervous.
Oh, yeah.
It is. Oh, Dad, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Oh, don't. Oh, yeah, you can't get up here soon enough. Dad, you need some assistance or guidance? Or over at the front desk, there's a gentleman by the name of Jacob. He's right there. They know you're coming. And they are going to, we're going to actually have, I think someone from the concierge will escort you up here.
We decided that we didn't want to get the baby in the lobby of a hotel and preferred a private moment as a family with us and our caseworker. So the amazing concierge team arranged to escort Cradle Care to us. Then we just had to wait for her to arrive, which felt like it took an eternity. Now, looking back at our audio files, in actuality, it just took 18 minutes, but I am telling you, it felt like 18 years.
Maybe we should have just gone down there. It's okay, we're trying. No need to get frustrated. It's gonna be okay.
Did you call the concierge or the front desk?
Front desk. No, look, they're not answering.
It seems like Dan would call if there's a problem. It could be the baby. He had to change the baby. You know, sometimes things happen. Oh, my God. They're here. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Should we get the
bar
together?
Yes.
Hi, Dan. Come on in. Please, come on in.
Oh, my God.
JD, congratulations.
Dan,
congratulations.
Jasmine.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God.
Beautiful day.
Oh,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. Great dad.
Come on in. Come on in.
Our first moments as parents was nothing short of incredible. Baby girl was sheer and utter perfection. She didn't cry. She ate well. She slept through any noise.
She's eating so well. She's eating so well.
Good.
Oh my God, are you tripping out right now?
I'm watching you.
I can't believe this. Like, how do we have a baby? Aww.
God's blessings.
You're going to take so many beautiful pictures.
I know, Ruth. I don't think there's enough camera memory in the world.
No, I can't imagine.
When the room cleared out, JD and I, we laughed with her and we danced with her and we watched the Super Bowl with her. And I told her I taught J-Lo everything she knows about shaking her hips. It was euphoria. I felt like I was living in a cloud, riding a unicorn, eating chocolate fondue. We spent most of the day agonizing over her name. Prior to meeting her, JD and I had three names that we really loved. But then we finally settled on her name, and JD immediately turned her name into a song.
Luna, the love of my life. Luna, Luna,
corazón. I'm recording you.
Aww. Don't record me without my permission, girl.
I had to record.
My voice is not. That's my Luna voice. So you can't record my Luna voice.
Our sweet daughter Luna Soul was placed in our arms on Sunday, 02/02/2020. Her entrance in our lives was marked by a palindrome and the Super Bowl, so our little family celebrated in a hotel room, wiping away the constant flow of tears. While the terms of her adoption will remain private, Luna Soul is incredibly strong and beat the odds squarely set against her health. She sleeps mostly through the night. She hangs out with me while I work, while I teach, while I record podcasts, and her daddy is a walking puddle of love for her. Most of the day, I coo into her ear, reminding her of how much she is loved and how long we have waited to call her our own. I never knew my heart was capable of loving someone so deeply, as if each inhale is a new opportunity to create more space for her soul to grow. I will never, ever know how I was chosen by God for this truly spectacular baby. But I crumble in gratitude for her in my life. Of the many, many things I am thankful for, when JD said his girls are his entire world, his moon, sun, and star, I nearly exploded into a puff of galaxial glitter, y'all. I like lost my mind. I couldn't be more elated to raise a daughter and show her how to pursue her wildest dreams. I hope that my ceiling will be her floor. For those of you guys who have been part of the journey, I always joke and I say that this baby was the baby that the internet had prayed for. For people who have sent us well wishes, for people who have just given her blessings, from strangers to friends, to people who've connected online, I want to say thank you. I want to say first and foremost, thank you to God for placing her with us. Thank you to her birth parents for making a very hard decision. Thank you to our lawyer, David Radis, who patiently worked through us in the process. Thank you to our family who have loved Luna before they met her. To our friends who've gone above and beyond to shower us with gifts and with love and with support. Thank you to the many, many gracious caseworkers and to the agencies who worked so hard to protect her. Thank you to Luna Soul's foster family who kept her for 5 days and who loved her as if she was their own. I know it sounds silly, but I also do have to take a second to thank the Four Seasons Las Vegas. I know it probably sounds like an ad, but I cannot say how much they have gone out of their way to make this hotel feel like home. We were escorted and met in valet, and people there generously set up her car seat when JD was having a hard time. We were graciously upgraded to a suite so that our family would be able to spend the first few nights together in peace and joy. Luna was sent gifts from the hotel, like a little teddy bear, and they sent her a chocolate cake with her name inscribed on it. Thank you to the many people who came and fixed our heater when we asked for it, who offered to clean her baby clothes, and to the cleaning staff and to the valet who carefully placed every item of hers in this room. We, at the time of this recording, we are sitting in Las Vegas, still in a hotel. We want to be home with friends and family, but we also know that this whole process takes time. And while the three of us sit in this hotel room recording this podcast, I just want to express my deepest gratitude for the people who just really rallied around us. I'm thankful. Thank you for listening to her journey. Thank you for supporting us. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your kindness, and we appreciate your time more than anything. Thank you so much, friends.